Hope you have your Bible in hand. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, if she's going to get it anyway, yeah. Just thank you very much. Thank the Lord. And we appreciate this church family. Merry Christmas to you, and thank you, thank you. Thank you for putting up with me all these years. Open your Bible with me to Luke chapter 2. Christmas is a time of giving gifts, receiving gifts. And sadly, because of that, even though it comes from the greatest gift ever given, when God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. There was a great cost in what God gave. And that's my subject today, the cost. Cost of Christmas. You're in Luke chapter 2. I want to begin by reading with you verses 34 and 35. Point out one line in verse 35. Verse 34 we read, "And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Now, that line, the first part of verse 35, that's in parentheses. That's what I want to emphasize. But I want to read those two verses again, leaving out the parentheses, and complete the sentence, and then come back to what is in parentheses. Verse 34, "And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the falling and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." The thoughts of many hearts being revealed by his being spoken against. But that first line that is in parentheses, yea, Simeon's statement to Mary, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. This is related. Simeon's words to this young mother, as he holds this young baby, his words to her are related to the great cost of Christmas. And sadly, even though it comes from this greatest gift ever given, the gift of God, of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, most people today are not concerned about what Christmas really means, what it's really all about, or what it cost. And what's really sad is that many Christians, many professing Christians, are not as concerned about what it really means and what it really cost as we are about our giving and receiving and the cost involved in all that. Jesus Christ came to this earth, born of a virgin. We still believe that. He's the virgin-born Son of God. God announced His birth to shepherds. And these shepherds came to Bethlehem to see what was come to pass. Now let's back up to verse 21 and begin our reading. In Luke chapter 2, verse 21. "And when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, His name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before He was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought Him to Jerusalem to present Him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer sacrificing according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Sword shall pierce through thy own soul also. In that phrase, we see part of the great cost of Christmas. And the cost of Christmas was Calvary. The cost of the gift of God giving his only begotten Son, to purchase the eternal life that he offers as a gift, the cost was the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death of God incarnate on the cross of Calvary. And for many, Christmas is a time of anxiety, of spending too much money and going into debt. Just a matter of buying and giving and getting. I read that nearly every year since 2009, the American consumer or American consumer spending on holiday gifts and holiday expenses has increased over the previous year. For 2020, Americans on average expect to spend $998 on gifts, holiday items, and other expenses during the holiday season, down $50 from 2019. But the real cost of Christmas is not all the money that changes hands for all the gifts that are given and received. The real cost of Christmas is what it costs God to provide the unspeakable gift of eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look up in verse 21 again in Luke chapter 2. When 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This is when he came for his circumcision and to receive his name. This is when he became part of the covenant people of Israel, when his name, Jesus, was given to him. Jesus is a Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua. Joshua in the Old Testament was given his name by Moses. His name was Oshia, which means salvation. Joshua's name was Oshia before he was given the name Joshua by Moses. After God delivered the people from Egypt, Moses took God's name, Jehovah, and combined it with Oshia, and said, you'll be called Joshua. Jehovah is our salvation. His name went from being salvation to Jehovah is our salvation. And by the time Jesus was born, by the time the Christ was born, many people had the name Joshua, or the Greek equivalent of Jesus. But God chose that name for him. If you'll keep your place here and turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. God chose that name and gave it to him, sent by an angel, that would be the name given to him. Matthew chapter 1. And we'll begin reading with verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So in the eighth day, we're back to Luke chapter 2, verse 21. He comes to be circumcised and is named Jesus. Now in verse 22, when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, this is a different time. This is 40 days after his birth. He was brought to Jerusalem to be presented to the Lord according to the law. Now, he was of the tribe of Judah. The tribe of Judah was not the priestly tribe. That's the tribe of Levi. In Exodus chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, it says, The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both man and of beast, it is mine. And then in verse 12 it says that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast. The males shall be the Lord's. The Lord had said in the Old Testament under the law that the firstborn will be mine. Every firstborn from every tribe was originally prescribed by God to make up the priesthood of Israel. Every firstborn, regardless of tribe. But then as Numbers chapter 3, it says, And I, behold, I, Numbers 3:12, have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of all the firstborn that openeth the matrix among the children of Israel. Therefore, the Levites shall be mine. Now, God said that his people would not present their firstborn. All the tribes did not or would not. Whatever the exact reason, God then commanded the Levites. The Levites would make up the priestly tribe. And the point is this. Mary and Joseph were not of the tribe of Levi, but of the tribe of Judah. Jesus was born of the tribe of Judah. He was taken to the temple and presented in that priestly way. Taken to Jerusalem and presented. Joseph and Mary went back to the original commandment of the Lord. They were following God's word in presenting their firstborn. 40 days after his birth, presenting their firstborn to the Lord. Dedicating him to the Lord. And Simeon, that we read about in Luke chapter 2. Simeon recognized immediately who he was. Look again at verse 25. Simeon, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. He was a just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And God had told him, verse 26, It was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. When they brought in this baby, the Holy Spirit told him, Here he is. The consolation of Israel you've been waiting for, the Savior you've been waiting for, looking for. He recognized him. How many were present? It's not known. It may have been just the family, just the four of them. But he took that baby and he blessed the Lord. And he said these words, again, verse 34 and 35. He blessed them, Mary and Joseph, and said unto Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. And a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also. Now here's this young mother. And this whole event, her virgin conception, when the angel came and told her this would happen, she said, How can this be? And then Joseph, finding that she's with child, and he would have put her away privately. The angel appearing to him, it's all been so outstanding, so out of the ordinary. Miraculous. And now for this young mother to hear these words from Simeon. A sword shall pierce through thine own soul. Now remember, she doesn't know all. She doesn't see clearly yet that he's come to be crucified. She knows this is special, that she has been the one chosen to bring the Messiah into the world, but she doesn't know all that that means. And so these words of Simeon, I wonder if these are part of the things. Look up at verse number 19, where it says, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." Surely these words of Simeon about this sword piercing her soul, surely as she watched this baby grow into a toddler, then a mischievous little boy, she pondered these words and wondered, what does that mean? That soul, that sword is going to pierce my soul. This baby was the incarnate one, capital O-N-E, the incarnate one, God in the flesh, the eternal God, the eternal creator God who became a man without ceasing to be God. That was this baby. Paul said in Galatians 4:4, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, born, made of a woman, made under the law." Mary brought forth what God had sent into the world. Paul said God sent forth His Son. It was Mary who was chosen to bring forth that one that God sent into the world. Simeon said that this baby would cause a sword to pierce through this mother's heart. Might remind us of what the Lord said in Matthew 10:34. "Think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword." A sword would pierce his mother's heart. Jesus, the Creator, Jehovah, came as a baby in a manger. But he came to die. God is eternal. God cannot die. God became a man so that he could die. God became a man so that he could suffer and bleed and die for all men. There's no Christmas without Calvary. That's why as we sing our Christmas hymns, we'll work in a hymn about the cross. Because Christmas and Bethlehem is all about His coming in preparation for the cross of Calvary. If Jesus had not suffered, if Jesus had not bled and then finally died, if He had not been buried in that barred tomb and then come forth out of the grave after 3 days, there would have been no need for any Christmas, no need for Bethlehem. But because of what it cost God, the cost of Christmas came about 33 and a half years after Bethlehem. The ultimate cost of the death of the Son of God. Now let's go with this mother who surely pondered these words in her heart, watching her little boy grow into a man. Let's follow her to Calvary. Turn with me to John chapter 19. The Gospel according to John chapter 19. As is often the case, my introductions are longer than the message. I have three little points to give you. That was introduction. Now three brief points. In the Gospel according to John chapter 19, begin with verse 25. John 19, 25. "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, His mother, and His mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw His mother and the disciple standing by whom He loved, He saith unto His mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith He to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home." Now think about this exchange between this mother and grown son. I just thought of something as I read verse 26, and I didn't think of it in my studies. When Jesus therefore saw His mother, it reminded me of when I was so sick back in 2018. I remember being glad that my mother wasn't here to see me that way. She had already gone to be with the Lord just not long before that, a few months before that. Jesus saw his mother as he hung on the cross. And I know that as a man, he was concerned about his mother seeing him in that condition, beaten, bloody, nailed to a cross. And that deep concern of a grown man for his mother. But I want to focus on her and the cost of Calvary as we see it in her. As she stood there, verse 25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. And I wonder if at the cross, and we don't know exactly what she has seen up to this time of his suffering, of his scourging, what she's heard, said, and what she's seen done to him. We don't know exactly all that she's seen and heard. But now she stands by his cross. How does she even have the strength, the emotional strength to stand? To even be there? I wonder if she remembered Simeon's words, as surely her heart is broken and her soul is pierced. I wonder if she remembers Simeon. Simeon said this would happen. A sword shall pierce through your soul also. If you write things down, write down number one, she stood by him. She stood by him. Mary stood with him when many others had fled already. Remember, it was during the trial, it's recorded in Mark 14. Jesus told Peter he's going to deny him thrice before the night was over. And he said, oh no. And Peter spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. We're not going to deny you. We'll stand with you. We'll die with you. But then in verse 50 of the same chapter, Mark 14, 50, and they all forsook him and fled. But Mary stood with him. She stood by him. She was not ashamed to be identified with him. She was not afraid to be identified with him. Why did the others, the disciples, the grown, strong men who boasted, I'll die with you, I will not deny thee in any wise, nothing could make me deny you, they've gone into hiding. Ashamed. Afraid. Peter would not only deny him, Peter would deny him several times, and he would do it with cursing. I don't know him, and curse while he's doing it. Question is, are we standing with him? Are we ashamed to stand with him? Are we ashamed to be identified with him and his cross? You know, there are many places where it's all right to be a Christian. It's all right to say you believe in Jesus, to be identified with the cross and the blood and the necessity of a dying Savior. To identify with the necessity of the blood of Christ. Are we ashamed to be identified with him? If we truly believe in a real heaven and a literal hell, we will not be ashamed. If we believe all that we say we believe about him and who he is, we will not be ashamed. But I want you to notice, number two, that she stood silently by him. I'm sure there was weeping. But they had called him illegitimate. Some called him insane. They called him the prince of devils. And Mary bore it all. She heard it all. Promise that God gave, and it was related to Eve in Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. It was fulfilled in Mary. And there she stood silently by him. As they called him illegitimate, and all the things that they did, who knew perfectly well? Who knew better than anyone? She knew who he was. You know what all she had to say is, no, it's not true. He wasn't conceived of a virgin. I wasn't a virgin. She could have spared him that pain, but she knew, and she stood silently by him. Turn back just a few pages to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And read verses, begin with verse 39. John 8, 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. Now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I've heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. You know what? I'm sure that that stigma, that accusation, that rumor, that gossip had been around all his life, and Mary had heard it. We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. But who knew? She knew that it was true, that God was his father. And she stood there, stood silently and watched him suffer, because she knew who he was. And when we settle some things in our hearts about the Lord, about who he is and what he's done for us and how much he cares for us, then we can pass peacefully through anything in this world. You know it? When we're settled in our hearts on who he is, then number three, the piercing of her soul. Yes, he was called illegitimate, insane, the prince of devils, and Mary bore all of that. As God, through her, kept that promise made in Genesis 3:15. The first promise recorded in Scripture of the Redeemer. Genesis 3:15. God fulfilled that promise all the way back from the book of Genesis in Mary. But that fulfilling was costly. And it pierced her soul, that mother watching her child suffer. Yes, he was a grown man, but it was her child. And she saw him suffer and bleed and die. You know what? There's no painless way to follow Christ. But because he paid the price, he paid the cost of Christmas, we can be saved and know we have eternal life. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, do you know him as your Savior? Have you settled in your own heart and mind who he is? That he came to be the Savior of the world, and when he suffered and bled and died, he suffered and bled and died for you. And you trust him and him alone as your Savior. If you believe he paid the cost for your salvation, trust him and him alone, and he'll save you. But you know what? We all know someone that doesn't know him. And they need to know that he paid the cost of Christmas. Why he came. They need to know why he came. It wasn't just about the manger and the angels and the shepherds and the star. All that was preparation for Calvary. Our Father, we thank you for your word that tells us of our Lord Jesus Christ and how he suffered and bled and died, was buried and rose again. We thank you for paying the great cost, the great cost to purchase for us the gift of eternal life. Lord, I pray that everyone here has received it or will receive it. Pray to our Father in Jesus' name. Amen.